All right, 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want to speak to you tonight on bringing God the glory. I believe that if you're saved, that is exactly what you want, unless you are selfish-minded. If it's all about you, then you want the glory. But if it's not about you, you want God to have the glory. How can we bring glory to God? Well, we're going to look here tonight and I believe take three different directions in this. So if you start with me, verse number 11, I'd like to read down to the end of the chapter. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or as unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject unto your masters, which are with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye be do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For you were a sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." We will go a little farther tonight, but let's stop there and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you that we have a privilege to not look inwardly, but to look outwardly. Not to have folks praise us, but to direct all praise unto you. Lord, I ask tonight that you might help us to understand some areas and situations whereby we can promote glory unto you. Bless in this endeavor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe God saved us to bring glory to his name. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." As we read here, we start in verse 11, but if you go back to verse number 9 in chapter 2, he says, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth" what? "The praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Why did God save us? To bring glory unto himself. From our text, we learn that it's through the sufficiency of Christ's afflictions and our afflictions that God receives the glory. There's something interesting. 2 Corinthians says it this way, chapter 4, verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." How can somebody find out when your faith in God is real? When everything's going well, or when things are not going so well? How can they see you praising God when everything's well or when everything's not going well? Which is going to have the greatest impact in the lives of others? I believe that answer is very obvious. And so God allows different things in our lives that you and I might bring glory unto Him. From a very practical standpoint, we need to learn that God has three different relational portions of our life in which we have opportunity to bring glory unto Him, if we will but see it. First of all, we need to understand something as we go into these. We must understand that we have been given authorities over us. Though these authorities can be abusive, God has still placed them there. There are those in governments, there are those in households, there's those, yea, even in churches, there are those in society, they're in positions of authority that many times take way too much upon them. And yet at the same time, we can bring glory to God through it. Rebellion against these authorities really are the lusts that steal God's glory. And so I want us tonight to stop and look at two or three of these spots, and I hope it'll be of some blessing and help to you. First of all, if we're going to bring glory to God, one of the areas going to be is in certainly your social life. Verse 13, by the way, if you notice verse 12, how's it in? Glorify God in the day of visitation. The next verse, what does it say? Submit. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors. What does he say? Submit. Submission is an act of the will. It's not something that takes place after we've been forced into a situation. That is not submission. That is when we have been basically defeated and brought under subjection. And there is a difference. God wants us to what? Submit to the authorities. Submit to, especially as we look here, what I would describe as the authority of government. Do we like all that government does? No, we don't. Do we like government, some of the laws that they have? No, we don't. But yet, we are expected to submit ourselves. I believe there is one exception I will make note of, and that is, and it comes from the book of Acts, when they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus. And they basically answered the way you and I do in this situation, and that is that they must obey God rather than man. And so if there's something clear in the Word of God, and there's a law or authority trying to make you do opposite of that, then we've got to follow the higher authority. For instance, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. But if you have an authority that says, go into that bank and steal something, we must obey the authority of God. But nonetheless, God has placed these in our society. As Christians, we've been set free of the law. Isn't that true? We have freedom. But it's not for selfish reasons. Notice verse 16 what he says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. God has set us free of the demands of the law, but it is not setting us free to do whatever we want. It's allowing us the freedom to love people and to honor rather than to hate and to kill. Verse 17, he says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So our social life is an area. We don't always like the authorities that are there, but we can bring God the glory. And there's laws out there that I'm kind of particularly fond of. One of the things I've noticed recently is that there's been a number of folks that have been complaining about folks who are driving not using their turn signals. Now, I know why they're not using their turn signals. They've not kept their turn signal fluid up to par. I just read something about that. It just cracked me up. Somebody's going to go out and try to buy some. I can tell that right now. Mike's got some for sale, don't you? You'll tell him exactly where to put it. Okay, see Mike after service. But we have a rule that says we ought to use them. If we're going to turn to the left, we ought to use the one on the left side and go to the right side. And it has a very good purpose for us. Say, well, I've been set free from the law. I'm saved. Yeah, but it's not to put yourself or others in jeopardy. And it is an area that we can bring glory unto God when we're following after the authorities that God has placed over us. See? And it's very essential that we understand that. Secondly, when you go down to verse number 18, he uses the word servants. He says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. Interesting. I would put this within the business realm. Servants being those who are working for somebody, masters being those who are being worked for, so to speak. In the job market, God has placed those in authority over us. They're masters. We find that they are those who are normally good, but sometimes they are froward, a word is used at times, which simply means wicked, unjust. However, no matter what kind of authority you have in the workplace, no matter how much fairness or unfairness there is, we can honor God. We can bring honor to Him. One is meeting the demands of the master, seeking to do what you're told to do. I believe it's the greatest opportunity we have to act like the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, He was the creator of the world. He's the King of Kings. And yet they came to tax Him, and what did He do? He said, go catch a fish, we'll pay the tax. And so they placed themselves in that situation. You and I, when we're in the workforce, we have an opportunity to really to share the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring glory to His name. I believe it's helpful if they know why we're doing it. And we can speak for Him. I know that in some workplaces they say, well, you can't witness about the Lord Jesus. But you know, if you're acting the way you ought to and you're following and doing what you should do, it's amazing how many people will talk to you and open the door for you. And you can ask, or excuse me, you can answer the questions that are there. The last one I'd like for us to look at really begins in chapter number 3. And to me, this is very interesting. He's been talking about those who are placed under authority. He's talking about bringing God glory in the realm of the social life, in the realm of our business life. And so now he begins this chapter by saying, likewise. And he says, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That's a big old word that we could also use as synonym, behavior. So we find in the home, God has placed an authority. That authority is the husband. I know that's not popular preaching, it's not popular teaching, but still, nonetheless, what the Word of God teaches. And we find in that situation that the wife is to be in subjection. She's to submit herself. By the way, it's not because there's been an act of war and he beats you up and puts you in submission, but it's a matter of the act of the will, and you've submitted yourself. I believe a husband can be a good ruler if his wife first is good at submitting. It's pretty hard to rule one who will not submit. He says here in this verse, even though that husband is an unbeliever, we find that God can work through them. It's interesting, verse number 1, he talks about husbands. In verse number 6, it talks about Sarah obeying Abraham, calling him Lord. I don't think we'll find too many wives out here calling their husbands Lord. That's with a little L, by the way. But nonetheless, that is the idea that is being given to us. There are 16 verses here directed toward women and one towards the man. It's interesting, Ephesians chapter 5, there we find that there is a command to the wives and a command to the husbands, but there the command is three times to the husband and once to the wife. There's a reason, by the way, that God commands the woman first, because she needs to submit, or he is helpless to accomplish the task that God has given him. When there is a authority in the home, there is that which submits. It brings glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 5, we find that that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. That brings glory to God. And we have disaster in our homes today because these things are not taking place. And what a horrible thing that is. We have a great attack upon our homes today. I'll make friends with this, but it's basically bossy wives. Nothing wrong with a wife who gives her opinion in a quiet and gentle manner, if you please. She can get the point across, but it ought to be in the right way. A submissive wife has a promise that her unbelieving husband may be saved as a result of her conversation. Interesting, is it not? He might be. Can we put that in the light of a saved man as well? Doesn't mean he's going to get saved, but will not make it a great help in his life spiritually. We find his unbelief might be in many different ways. But nowhere we find such a promise to a husband of a rebellious wife. Matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs chapter 19, he says, "A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping." Would that be waterboarding? Proverbs 27:15, "A continual dripping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike." Even if a husband doesn't have the sense to abide by verse number 7, it does not excuse us from robbing God of his glory by not being submissive to his authority that God gave unto him. Well, we notice verse 7, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to what? Knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heir together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." God gives express direction to the wife, express direction to the husband, as to what will bring glory to his name within the family. So how's it going to bring glory? Well, one, who sees the proper kind or the improper kind of reactions within a family? Is it not the children? We have some very, very rebellious children out there today. I was watching the news a couple nights ago, and I saw that in Council Bluffs, I suppose it's all over, they are really short of bus drivers. They even said that it'd be a great job for a woman who has little kids at home, because they could bring them along and put them in the car seats and take them on the route with them. They're desperate for it. I thought to myself, I know why. Talk to Bill, he can tell you why. They're rebellious. There's a great problem that takes place as they're riding back and forth. And those who want to obey many times have a difficult time on a bus situation. Why is it? Because moms and dads are not showing forth what they ought to be showing forth. There's no perfect authority. There's not any, because we're all fallen peoples. We all have fallen natures. But yet at the same time, God wants us to give him glory. How do we do that? Well, as we submit to the authorities that are over us in government, particularly in society, as we submit ourselves to those who are authority over us in the business world, as we submit ourselves to the authority that's over us within the family, it brings glory to God. You know, there's nothing that's quite as beautiful as a young person who wants to do the will of God, seeking to follow after the dictates of mom and dad, and they end up bringing glory to God. There's a young lady that was operated on this week. She came to our school for a couple years, graduated, and been in Bible college. She just got engaged recently. She's a pastor's daughter. And I saw her post before she went in. They weren't quite sure because she had some sort of problem within her brain, I believe a growth, and they needed to do brain surgery. And she said in that she was nervous, but at the same time, as I read that, I thought, wow. She had a great faith in God, and the thing she was saying was, to me, well beyond her years. Now, what a testimony, how that brings glory to God when people are following in the in those positions. How do we bring glory to God? Follow the authorities He's placed over us. We don't always like it. They're not always the great ones. Many times they can be abusive. But at the same time, it is in those areas we can bring the most glory to God. You and I need to stop and consider how much glory we bring into God. Are we rebellious? Or are we submissive to those He's placed over us? Where are we at? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You that You love us. Thank You, O God, for Your authority in our lives. But God, we many times don't thank You for those You have placed over us. Many times we rebel. Many times we complain. And we do not bring You honor and glory as a result of disobeying You. Lord, I pray that You might help us be very cognizant of the fact that when things are not going well in any of those areas, that we can still bring glory to You by having the right attitude and by really placing our love to You above all else. I pray, O God, as we continue tonight that You might work and bless in our midst. For we ask in Christ's name, amen.